This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some advice for you Cinco de Mayo fans out there. It's go to Home Depot for lunch day, they said.
Oh.
Tons of people drive around in, like, you know, mini trucks, mini vans, selling the best homemade Mexican food you can get. You just got to find the right one. They have those all over Lee's Summit. It's kind of cool. There's one that parks at, like, Safe Light, and he's just got a truck right across from a cemetery, and he just, like, every day, sure as right as rain, bam, almost said a cuss
word. I bet it's awesome.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Tacos are great, and it's like those authentic street-style tacos.
It's the best.
Yeah. Somebody says if you really want to flex on Cinco de Mayo in the United States, you go to Taco Bell, and you get the chicken nuggets.
they have brought the chicken nuggets back. I saw the commercial. No, I have not. No? Okay, that's fair.
I haven't had them.
Your look says it all.
Well, I mean,
just like the Yankee broadcaster the other day when they rolled out the Austin Wells burrito, and they're like, here, try this. He's like, And they're like, well, your face said it all. He goes, it's not that good.
Well, it's just one thing where I'm like, I never went to Burger King and got a taco.
Right. I understand. Yeah.
I don't know. I probably would, but I would just get them as like an appetite. I would just be like, let me try them to try them. And then I would never order them again. I always get like the same stuff at Taco Bell every time.
Did Burger King ever master the chicken nugget, though? I never thought their chicken nuggets were any good.
No, but their chicken strips were good back in the day.
Were they? Okay. I like their chicken fries. Those were kind of a unique little deal that they had going on. But like nobody's mastered the chicken nugget like McDonald's has. Now, I know they've changed it over the years, and they've taken out all the deliciousness and made it a little healthier for you. But those chicken nuggets, when I was growing up as a kid, man, those things were unbelievable. So
what's
juicy.
What's better, the L-shaped one or the regular?
I always liked the L-shaped one. Yeah. And I would like to take the breading off it, eat the breading separately, have the nugget. And, you know, dip it in the sweet and sour
sauce.
Psycho behavior. Doesn't matter, man. I mean, my order when I was a kid at McDonald's, I could go to McDonald's as long as I got a milk. Chicken McNuggets, French fries, and a milk. So, I mean, the milk and the sweet and sour combination kind of didn't hit the right way. Mm. But, man, if all I had to do was sacrifice a cola for a milk and I could get those delicious chicken McNuggets back then, oh, they were so good. I don't know what was in them, but they were just absolutely
no one
on fire.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But I do know what's on fire is Mike Hill Garcia.
He is, man.
The guy's absolutely just hitting the cover off the baseball. He's been great. And he's been something that this team needed. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people had said, like, okay, like, who's going to step up besides Bobby? And Mike Hill had hung around and been that guy. He was hitting, you know, 280, 290, then 300, now well over that.
Yeah.
And, you know, over the last 13 games where the Royals are 11-2, excuse me, 340 average, 5 doubles, 2 home runs, 6 multi-hit games, was a force in that Baltimore series. They lose the game Friday, then they win Saturday and Sunday. Yesterday, what was there, 10 home runs?
10, yeah.
Solo. So Royals were dead last in baseball yesterday. Then they set a franchise tying record with seven home runs.
Yeah,
in
we
one
talked
game.
About it last week. Like the Royals are like last in baseball, and like the Yankees had more home runs in the first inning. I think it was Thursday or Friday. We talked about that than the Royals had all year. Right. And so they kind of put on their hitting shoes, if you will, and put on a little bit of a hitting display down there in Baltimore, took advantage of the situation and went out there and won a baseball game, won a series, hit some home runs. But Mikel Garcia is a guy now that we start to have to consider hitter, and I said it on Friday, the second best player on this team right now. And I don't think there's much debate to be had whether or not Michael Garcia is the second best player on this team, because he's hitting like it, and he's been a catalyst in this lineup where, frankly, nobody's been that hot this year. Vinny's starting to come on and play some better baseball, you know, and he's starting to find his way a little bit. I've noticed Ryan over the last couple of games on television has made the comment of, in Vinny's limited hits, he's made them count. And he said that a couple of times, limited hits. And Vinny has had limited hits, but the hits that he's had have mattered. And that's all you can ask for, right? He's still on pace to drive in some 90 runs this year and has a 183 batting average, which tells me, yeah, he's not getting a lot of hits, but when he does, he's making them count. And I think there is something important to be said, you know, about that. But where is this lineup right now without Michael Garcia in the middle of it, right? Because nobody else has really been able to produce at a consistent basis other than Bobby in this lineup. And Garcia has been great. But now that he's starting to play well, everybody else is starting to play well because it has that trickle down effect. And guys like Vincent and Salvi and all these other dudes are going to see, you know, better pitches to hit and have an opportunity, because now nobody wants to pitch to Garcia. And so while they're not pitching to Garcia, somebody else needs to step it up. And maybe it is Vinny, or maybe it is Drew Waters in that type of situation. But Garcia now is a regular everyday player, needs to be in the lineup every single night, and really has done a great job with this opportunity. And that's the career arc of a lot of guys. You have a good first year, then you come back down to earth. You've got it figured out. I know what's going on here. You come back down to earth, get kicked in the teeth a little bit, and now look at where he is. He's taken last season to heart, and he's been just one hell of a baseball player. He's so much fun to watch.
He's been great. Vinny, by the way, 4 home runs, 9 RBIs in that 13-game stretch for the Royals. Still only hitting in that 13 games, 203, but 9 runs knocked in, 4 home runs. So, like you said, doing his best with limited hitting. Maybe a name to keep an eye on if there does, because I think this is – I have theories of where this team could really be in my own fantasy world, because it involves Jack Caglione and what this team is currently doing. But I'll let you give a name to watch, because mine doesn't really – make enough sense yet.
Not yet. And look, we'd love to have Cags come up, but you don't want to rush Christmas either, right? You want to make sure you got to make sure it's the right situation and the right time. The right situation at this point in time is a major injury that nobody wants to deal with on this team. That's right. The situation, if you will, for Caglione at this point in time. So we're going to keep him down here, not worry about him, let him do his thing, let him develop, let him continue to hit, let him continue to gain confidence.
We all agree that Arkansas is no longer where he needs to
probably
be.
Probably not. Okay. Yeah, I would imagine that. I think we've done we've done enough damage down there in Springfield and, you know, places of that nature. Tulsa, it's time to maybe move it up to Omaha a little bit, get on a flight and fly across the country and play some games and get kind of that lifestyle going a little bit. So we'll see. But Taylor Ward is a name that continues to be popped up in circles surrounding
2023.
The Kansas City Royals. But I mean, it's still a guy they tried to get this offseason, a guy that they've, you know, kind of, I hate to use the term coveted, because it's not like, you know, he's a superstar or anything like that, but he makes your lineup better. He really does.
He makes monitored.
Monitoring this guy. So that's kind of been a target. I heard it again last week by some baseball people. Keep that name kind of in mind as the Royals continue to do business. And another guy that they can go out there and get was released yesterday by the Rangers, Leody Taveras. And you may think, who the hell is that? He's an outfielder, and he's not a bad outfielder. He's not a guy that is going to be terrible for you, but he's just kind of been wedged out down there in Texas. He's better than what we have right now here in Kansas City, and you can get him for a prorated portion of his, you know, $4 million salary and have a guy that is an upgrade over Hunter Renfro right now in your lineup, and maybe an upgrade over a couple of other guys in your lineup. So those are two names to watch. The Taveras kid is a guy that is available right now. You just have to put in a waiver claim on him, because the Rangers put him through waivers yesterday, and so you have an opportunity to grab him. That's somebody I would be interested in. And if you have to add salary, so what? You've got an opportunity with a pitching staff that may be the best we've ever seen in Kansas City. You can't worry about a couple of million dollars swaying you one way or the other on whether you want to add to this ball club, because you can't waste this pitching rotation. You can't waste this staff right now, because they are so freaking good. So you want to get reinforcements from the offensive side of things. So those are a couple of names to watch. I know they're not needle movers at this point in time, but I don't know who that needle mover is on May 5th. And so by June 5th, maybe we'll know a little bit more about who some of these guys are that the Rockies may be getting rid of, or the White Sox may be getting rid of, or whoever may be getting rid of that aren't not playing good baseball right now.
Yeah, because I think right now your team is, and its fan base should be, a little comfortable, because you have, I think your outfield should be Waters, Isbell, whoever, maybe it's Garcia one day, maybe it's India, your infield, Garcia, Massey, Bobby, Vinny, Sal, DH can be whoever you want it to be as you go through that. But gonna need Taylor Ward to kind of pick it up a little bit.
Yeah, everybody needs to pick it up, though. I mean, nobody in baseball is hitting great right now.
Yeah, but Bob, this is bad. He's 176. Yeah. He's got a -0.4 war. He's won for his last 17 in five games with like a slew of strikeouts. And it's not like he's played a ton of games in his career.
Yeah, but he's also playing in a bad situation, too, in Anaheim. They stink right now. So sometimes changing scenery does it for you. Again, I'm just throwing the name out.
No,
I'm not saying like, oh, my God, I'm in love with this guy. But it's just that, you know, who do you get at this point in time that, you know, you can physically go out there and acquire? Because I know people want to give up Luke Kochaver and, you know, Daniel Sorensen and get the best player back in return, and it doesn't work that way. So I think there's going to be little moves made as we continue to get closer and closer to the summertime, and we'll talk more to Vern about it in about an hour. He'll know more than we do on this, but, right. You know, you're going to probably make some little moves, and then I think you make that big move, you know, as you get closer and closer to the trade deadline, and teams truly are out of it. Remember, at this point in time, a lot of these teams are not going to be trading players and getting rid of guys because they don't want to admit that they're out of it. Because at the end of the day, sports is a business. And if you tell your paying customers we're having a going out of business sale, well, they're not showing up for that. They're done. They're out for the year and we'll see you next year. And you don't want to waste your entire season, your business, and tank your business because you're trading away players. So you got to give the illusion that you're still out there trying to put the best team on the field possible until the last moment. And then you can start unloading these guys.
Yeah, got to get to June 1st, then you can plan for the rest of the season.
That's right.
After you get to June 1st. But coming up next...